to the Puck Guys Podcast, the best place for top hockey news and insight with, of course, a little West Coast bias. Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Mahoney and Jason Lamb.
Hey, everybody, it's the Puck Guys. We're back. We're starting a new division today for our 31 and 30, looking at the Atlantic Division. I'm Patrick, alongside Eddie and Jason. How you guys doing?
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Hi, from Canada. Eddie's sitting at Tim Hortons, eating poutine, and about ready to grab a donut. So that's where he's at.
I said sorry to about 12 people.
Sorry.
You let everybody cut in line in front of you. I know you're running late.
Yeah.
Such nice Canadians.
It takes longer when everybody's letting you cut in. It's just a complete vicious circle.
Nobody ever orders. They just sit in front.
So it's just the next person.
I've been here for like 2 hours.
Sorry about that. You can go in front of me.
So we got the Tampa Bay Lightning. Just a powerhouse of a team. Mm-hmm. Lost to the Caps in the Eastern Conference Final in 7 games. And it was probably the most lackluster Game 7 I remember watching in a long time. Mm-hmm. The Caps just showed up. Tampa just was like, we're just going to skate around. Mm-hmm. We're just going to do not a lot of anything that's spectacular to watch. Didn't put up much of a fight. But, I mean, good news for them. Not a lot of roster turnover in the way of, like, losing good players. I mean, they lost Chris Kunitz. Whoopie shit.
No.
Andre Schuster, which, I mean, who would want to pick them up? Thanks, Bob.
Yeah, right.
Matthew Pekka, Eric Condra, Matt Bode, and Alex Gallant. So not a lot of loss when you're talking about putting in goals in the net. I feel this team is super strong. They're going to be just as good, if not better, than they were last season. I mean, it's hard to find a hole in the armor, Jay. What would you think?
This team was my pick last year to win the cup, and a lot of analysts picked to go all the way. It ran into the team of destiny with Ovi, and they didn't put up much of a fight, like you said, in Game 7. But this was a team that jumped out early with the likes of Kucherov playing just insane. Stamkos doing Stamkos things. They bolstered themselves at the end of the season, adding McDonough and JT Miller from the Rangers that we talked about yesterday. And I think they made a really subtle signing in getting Louis Domingue to back up behind Vasilevskiy. They got him on the cheap, 1.1, and he is a very, very serviceable backup, in my opinion. He's also a funny goalie, so he catches all weird-like.
With his right hand.
Yeah, I don't like people like that normally. But he's a good goalie. This team has a smaller they have – the main pieces signed for a very long time, including Kucherov being extended. Stamkos still got plenty of years, and their top two defensemen in Hedman and McDonough signed for the next foreseeable future. And Vasilevskiy is good for the next 2 years, too. But they have a lot of other little pieces like Strahlman and Coburn that are on contract years right now. So I feel like their window to win it all is much better right now this year than it's going to be necessarily next year, where they have to start coming up with a lot more money for a lot of other players. And that's what happens. You get a window, and they're kind of there now, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think Kucherov and Hedman's contracts both kick in next season as well, which makes it a lot harder because the guys who do come off the books kind of just get offset by the contract extensions you have kicking in. So I think it'll be tough for them. I mean, they're still going to have those key pieces around. It's just what's going to be harder for them is getting the depth to really do something we've seen in Pittsburgh for a long time, is them struggling to have bottom six forward depth and bottom pairing depth on defense. So that could be an issue for them. But really, this then is their year here, because they've got a top line now that has seemed to gel after losing to Nemestikov. They brought in JT Miller, and he's done well with Stamkos and Kucherov. And then they've just got a lot of depth with Point and Palat, Johnson. Yanni Gord had an amazing year last year. I don't know if he can replicate it, but it was a 60-point year for him. And then they've got a lot of young guys who are eventually going to be able to come into the lineup. They have a couple guys who just finished their junior careers in Taylor Radish and Boris Kachuk. And then they have Slater Koch and Jake Dotchin on defense, who could eventually replace Strahlman and Coburn if they don't want to re-sign either of those guys. So it's looking like the year for Tampa Bay, but it's going to be a struggle after that, I think, to really retain this type of dominance.
And they're even in on Erik Karlsson, which is insane. If they're able to pull that off, and I feel like Stevie Y still got that up his sleeve, maybe looking at the trade deadline is when Carlson gets moved.
Have to do it
you know
way.
He's going to be moved to the deadline. It's going to move to the deadline. I can't see it. If it was going to happen before the deadline, it would have happened already.
It's easier to do it at the deadline, especially for teams that need that much, because the cap numbers aren't as great. So you can bring him in. It's at the end of the season. You're not taking as much as – because they only have 2.6 mil at this point in cap space, so they can't take on that contract at the start of the season. But move things around at the end of the season, you know, that might be a possibility. Oh, man, how crazy would that team be?
It would be insane. And they still have to find a way to get rid of Ryan Callahan, who's got a no modified no trade and a no move. How did Kucherov not get a no move clause?
Yes, I don't know.
That's insane. Crazy. He doesn't have one, but I mean, and anybody would want him. So it's kind of like, I guess they have enough. They have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 on defense.
Another
no move or no trade. No. And then they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 on offense. They have 10 skaters that they ice regularly with no moves and no trades.
That would be really weird with Kucherov, because if you have that many no trades and no moves and they do an expansion, you have to protect those people.
True.
Correct.
But you're going to protect Kucherov anyway.
Yeah, and Kuch's contract doesn't even kick in until after this next season. So he's making 4.7 right now, and he'll get 9.5
after. Oh, but the thing he signed, he's got a no...
No,
move, right?
I mean, maybe. Let's look at the deal.
Yeah,
because
looking at cap friendly, think, it just says nothing.
Yeah, I think
you're right, it's showing
Pilat
the old
and Johnson. Pilat and Johnson come off the books next year too, so they might not be brought back.
No, Johnson's still there.
Thanks for saying that, Jay. I sound like an idiot. Yeah, he does have a no move, but not until the second year of the new deal.
Okay.
So,
okay,
no move for 4 years, no modified no trade to round out the end. Yeah, I was like, how the hell?
Yeah, I'm all like, because they just screwed themselves if they did that. Because then they'd be handcuffed a little bit.
It's like, wait a minute, Jason's got a good point. Let's look that up.
So Tyler Johnson is actually still signed for quite a while. He's at $5 million for a few
years. They just signed him.
Yeah, they signed him again. Yeah, so some of the upcoming free agents, they're all kind of minor, younger guys. Corey,
but you're
going
to have to pay
there,
Braden Point if he does another year like he did last year. I mean, he had a monster year last year.
Absolutely, yeah. And he did a good job playing against other teams' top lines and kind of shutting them down. So he kind of... They're shut down, but produce offense, so for sure. And if they go all in on Tyler Johnson, they got some work cut out for him come next year.
When you got a 22-year-old 30-goal scorer with Braden Point, he's putting up 60 points. If he does that again, and this team, like I was saying, hasn't really changed.
Yeah.
And they just locked in guys who are phenomenal. What is it going to take to bring on an Erik Karlsson contract at this point? Obviously some money. Probably need double the salary cap space. That are not even double what they have right now. They would have to free up at least six to eat Carlson's contract now is $6 million. So they need $4 million to bring him on this year if they were going to. Let's say wait to the deadline, wherever the cap's like, you're just doing the small amount left to pay. But then after that, he's going to want $12 million.
Yeah, I mean, it's a rental for sure. They're not going to re-sign him after that. So I would feel it's, unfortunately, it's probably not what Ottawa is going to really be looking for.
Yeah, but what is Ottawa going to get at this point? Everyone's just kind of giving the bird.
Not
and
as
being
much
like,
as they would have got.
They probably would want prospects, and you know, when it happens, it's going to be towards the end of the season. Their fate's pretty much, in my opinion, already going to be sealed as a non-playoff team. So when they're looking at that, and they're not going to be able to resign them, they're not going to get a whole bunch, but I'm sure they're going to want to do something that kind of ups the future. I mean, it depends if they want to do the full rebuild or not, or if they want to, you know, try and get somebody who might be semi-impactful for the next couple of seasons or whatever they're looking for. So it's going to be tricky movement, especially if Ottawa wants to keep Bobby Ryan as part of that whole trade
so
package.
Insane.
So I don't know. No one knows what the hell Ottawa's doing. On the opposite end of the spectrum, we got Tampa Bay, which seems to be doing a lot of right things with contracts. So
I mean, they got to make it work now, though. They have to win.
Yeah.
They have to win. There's no looking at this team and being like, well, we got another couple of years. Which you do.
They do, because they still have that high-end game-breaking talent.
That squeeze is going to be so tight on their salary cap.
But so good with they got the goaltending solidified. They got their top two defensemen solidified. And they got the top-end talent in Stamkos, Kucherov, and even some of those other players like Johnson locked up for a while. I mean, and JT Miller.
They got two more years of Vasi and he's still an RFA when it's done.
Yes. And so, I mean, he's going to get paid in 2 years, so they got some money things to work out. But that's what Yzerman's been able to do so well. A lot of times we're like, I don't know how he's going to do any of this. But he's still got Stamkos to re-sign for less, Kucherov for less than he's probably will be worth at his age and given what he's already done and what he's probably going to do. So it's not out of the realm of possibilities, but they're going to have to start going the same way as other teams. You're going to have to start drafting a little bit smarter and get people to fill in those other roles.
Eddie, do you think that they offered Ottawa Ryan Callahan straight up for Erik Karlsson? Yzerman just laid his giant dick down on the table and was like, hey, this is what we're doing. Are you going to take it?
I don't see how they get that deal to work out anymore. I never counted Yzerman because, like Jay said, he kind of seems to just be able to get things to happen for him. I mean, the rumors before were at times Ottawa was asking for Sergachev, Cal Foote, a lot of the top prospects that Tampa Bay has in their system, and Yzerman really didn't want to budge. Then, of course, he bit the bullet and just went out and got Ryan McDonagh for really nothing. I mean, yeah, they ended up losing Namestnikov, but they brought in JT Miller, who replaced him, and then they lost Brett Howden. But that really didn't hurt them too much. He wasn't one of their top prospects. So if Karlsson came over here, I mean, easily you could say right now they're probably one of the Stanley Cup contenders, but if he was to come over to Tampa Bay, they would be the favorite by a mile. Because of pairing him with Hedman and then having Stamkos and Kucherov up front, it would just be too good of a team. But, yeah, I mean, it'll be amazing to see where he goes. I just find it difficult to really work out and see him going to Tampa Bay at this point.
It would take a lot of prospects. I mean, and Ottawa didn't even bite on that when Vegas offered them a ton, and they just didn't want to get rid of one prospect, I think it was. I can't think of his name off the top
of my
head.
Cody Glass, yeah.
They wanted him, and they said no. And had they said yes, Vegas would have had Erik Karlsson for that playoff run to the Cup final, which would have been insane.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Ottawa should have taken that deal, though, with or without Glass, and just got rid of this headache. And they have so many problems. I can't wait to cover them. Honestly, it's going to be a fun conversation.
Up, pace yourself.
But Tampa looks good. I have them finishing first in the division. I don't see there's anybody who's really going to contend. It was strange to me that Boston was 1 point back of Tampa, because I didn't really look at Boston as like this great team. But Boston's a lot better than they gave them credit for last year. And they'll be curious to see how Tampa continues to chug along. I don't think there's any reason to look at this team though and go, oh, they're going to regress. They're too young and too good. So where do you guys have them first?
Yeah, I do. I have them first. Once again, I think they'll get a much more push again. I mean, you can't get much more of a push from Boston because they were only 1 point behind them. But the combination of also Boston and Toronto, kind of Toronto bolstering their team up. So the top three is going to be interesting. I just have to go with, you know, this year, what that team's got. And a lot of their great players are still perfectly in their prime to have another great season. And even Vasilevskiy just kind of had his emergence last year. I think he builds on that as well. So everything looks to be up a little bit. Everything seems to be a little bit more secure as far as what the future holds for the main players. So yeah, I still have them as first.
Can I just not answer? Because I feel like I'm going to get yelled at.
Well,
we're going to yell at you no matter what. So
I
just
have
go.
I have them second in the Atlantic Division.
That's not terrible, man.
Yeah, I thought you were going like fourth.
They're missing
the all right, now we got to yell at you.
I think it will be close. I think it will be close between them and the team I have in first. It'll be similar to what it was last year. I don't think it's going to be a big margin in difference in points. I just think there are some question marks I have about this team. I mean, obviously the talent is there, and they're obviously going to be a very, very good team. I just have some question marks about how far they win and if some guys can repeat what they did last year.
Yeah, and it's. I know I mentioned Erik Karlsson coming to this team, but it's curious if they're that close to getting him and they chose Ryan McDonagh and then gave McDonagh a ridiculous extension. Maybe they're not as close, but if they're able to bring him over at some point of the deadline, this team would be insane. So
yeah.
I don't disagree with you. They could finish second. There's like three good teams in this division.
If they lost, you know, two overtime games, they would have been second last year to Boston. So, I mean, it's that close anyways, and Toronto definitely got better. So it's a tight race in there.
Well, there you have it. That is our review for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Go ahead and tune in tomorrow. We'll be talking about the Boston Bruins. You guys know where to find us, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This is our 31-30, starting off the Atlantic Division. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Bye, guys.